This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
We told you weeks ago you really didn't have to worry about the Lakers or the Warriors doing anything significant, and here we are. It is Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Joseph, have one of those days where it's just we're trying to get the train on the tracks, and there's all kinds of problems in the morning, just piecing it together. And I frankly don't know how this is going to go.
We could trade.
Just completely off the tracks.
I'm right there with you. I'm getting a series of pictures that are sent to me of these beautiful couches that my wife is pretending are for me. Oh, I think I found a great football couch for you. First of all, I don't know what that means. Second of all, let's skip the foreplay here because we know exactly what's happening. What I think about the couch is completely irrelevant. What matters? Twofold. Number one, will the dog enjoy sleeping on it when we leave the house? Because he knows he's not allowed to sleep on the couch or lay on the couch, but as soon as we leave that house, he's on it. Number two, will it make for a suitable wrestling ring for my 7 and 5-year-old boys? That's it. If those two criteria are checked and it's super expensive, I'm sure it will be purchased.
Yes, exactly. And listen, I don't blame you. And I set no rules when it comes to the dog in the house. Go wherever you want. Honestly.
Free reign?
Free reign. Your house as much as mine. You may not be paying for it, but we know it all doesn't matter anyway. You're going to end up there as it is. So let's stop fooling each other.
Right.
That's all.
He thinks he's so smart when we come home and he's just laying there with his tail wagging and I just see a pile of hair on a very, very warm spot on the couch. And you just look at him and go, what's this? And then he tucks the tail and he runs.
How'd that get here?
He knows. Yeah. Is there another dog that snuck in and took a nap for 6 hours?
Did you guys get another dog and you didn't tell me? Unbelievable. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. We simply start here. What is the future for LeBron James? Has he played his last game with the Lakers? He was asked that question last night after the Lakers got run out by the Denver Nuggets to close their season.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Fair enough. Not going to answer it. Appreciate it. I have no illusion, Joe, that last night was the last game for LeBron James with the Lakers. None. I come away from this just believing that this will be in the coming weeks about building as much leverage as possible to get the Lakers to do everything I want in the draft and everything I want that is within reason in free agency. In other words, those things I can do, be it free agency or be it a trade. And that is simply it. I have no reason to think he's going to go anywhere else.
There are three individuals who are very, very good, very, very slick at keeping themselves at the top of the news cycle. And this is the non-political version, because if we got into the political version, well, we'd probably get ourselves into some trouble. But the sports version is very simple. Jerry Jones in Dallas, Tom Brady, and LeBron James. Those three are masters at just carefully crafting certain statements or answers to questions that will have you talking about them on a regular basis. It's good for business. It's a big brand. It's good to see your picture and your name on TV on a consistent basis. It only means good things for you. Jerry's been doing it with the All-In commentary. Brady apparently recently got a haircut, and that led to a lot of conversation for some bizarro reason. And now here's LeBron. Ask that question. Being evasive. Very smart. All the way around, very smart, because now we're going to talk and we're going to speculate, but I don't know. If I'm projecting here, I'd make a sizable bet he's back with the Lakers. He's in the process, if not hasn't completed, this beautiful new home property they're building out there. It's a wonderful place to live when you have fame and exorbitant wealth. I can't see why he would want to uproot his family yet again to go join some other team and start this thing all over again. He's in Los Angeles. It doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
Well, here's the problem. If you thought that he was title chasing all along when he went to Los Angeles, he has made it clear from the get-go that that's not it, that it had a lot more to do with every other part of his family and business life outside of it. He wanted to be able to be out there to have to be able to handle his production company up close and personal. He wanted to be out there because he wanted his family to be growing up out there. Felt like that was the best place for them. I don't look at LeBron right now at this juncture in his career saying, you know what, God, I need one more. Get me to Philadelphia. Right? I don't see that. I don't see that across the board. And let's think back as to what happened around the trade deadline. LeBron is not interested in going somewhere else to get things better. He's interested in forcing the Lakers to do what he wants, because I'd argue LeBron has the most leverage of any player in professional sports that we've ever seen. And I'll include Michael Jordan in that, because at one point the Bulls called his bluff and he walked out the door and they were like, all right, we'll move on. You know, that honestly, it all fell apart when they were winning championships. So LeBron right here with the Lakers, they don't want him to go. They don't want him to go. He's good for business in every single way. I mean, think about what's coming up, Joe. You got the draft June 26th, 27th. You got the possibility of Bronny staying in the draft, and it kind of sounds more and more like that's going to be the case. And LeBron has to make his decision by June 29th as to whether or not he's going to opt in or opt out. What a convenient little timeline that is.
Interesting. Really interesting how that broke. Fascinating to see that moving forward. We say this all the time with him and the Lakers. Like, he's going to put pressure on the Lakers so that they really build the best possible team around him. Is that necessary? Have we ever thought to ask that question? Is it honestly necessary for him to put pressure on them to go out and build the best possible team? That would operate under the assumption that if he doesn't do it, the Lakers are going to sit back and say, we don't need to do a whole lot here. I feel like the Lakers, simply by being in the LeBron James business, would want to put the best team out there to win a championship. Do we need the dog and pony show? We really need to exact leverage to get them moving as if, what, they just aren't going to do anything outside of these cryptic comments?
Well, they'll do some things, but this past year, they didn't really do anything. They weren't trading away draft picks, and now they've got some picks to trade away if they want, but they weren't doing what he wanted immediately at the deadline. So, I mean, I guess that if you want to apply that pressure, it is there. The bigger question is simply this. If you are staying put and Anthony Davis is there, and with his contract, he's not going anywhere, will LeBron and AD win a title again in LA after their little summer camp championship a few years ago?
No, that answer's no. That answer's no. I would say no. And that's not a knock on LeBron. He's still playing at an extremely high level. They just don't have the resources or the ability to put together what's necessary to win a championship. They don't. You look around the NBA, the teams that are competing at the highest possible level are teams that were built ground up. It took time. They had to toil away. They had to assemble these things. They had to coach them up. They had to go through the trials and tribulations. They had to be forged in adversity, and now they're ready to compete at a high level. Denver's shown us that. Minnesota's in the process of showing that, as are the Boston Celtics. For the Lakers, you have two players that simply cost too much money. You're giving up too much of your allocated salary cap space to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And oh, by the way, you just lost in five in the opening round with a healthy Anthony Davis who played really well. Are you going to get that next year? Are you going to get that the year after? I'll sit here and go ahead and just say James will continue to play at a high level. I have no reason to believe Father Time's going to get him, because he's shown me at every single turn he's going to keep producing at a high level. So I'll give you that. I'll assume James doesn't get healthy. I'll assume he continues to play really well despite the fact that he's right around 40 right now. Anthony Davis, he's going to continue to stay healthy. And then if he does, who else do you put around him? Look at Minnesota right now. They're a team that's on the come. They have put together a team of players. They drafted Karl-Anthony Towns. They drafted Anthony Edwards. They drafted Jaden McDaniels. Then they made the move for Rudy Gobert. They made the move for Mike Conley, right? They drafted Naz Reid. They've had the same coach for a few years now. That's how you build something up. The Lakers are just shuffling parts in and out, in and out, in and out. There's no continuity. There's no consistency. Those guys don't go through the fire together. As a result, it's trial and error. It's battleship basketball. This year was B2. Miss. Last year was F1. Miss. Next year might be G3. Who knows? There could be a hit, but ultimately it's going to be a miss.
Well, here's LeBron after the game on whether or not he has confidence in this group right now as a whole.
No, because we lost. I'm not a participation guy. We lost, and you know, you move on and see how you can get better. But And our season has been derailed all season with just like injuries and guys in and out. And I talked about it all year. If he was around us all year, I said, I don't, you know, it's hard to come back from that.
This is every year.
I don't want to hear about the injuries.
This is every year. Yeah. Last year, they completely remade the team at the All-Star trade deadline.
Yeah.
Or the trade deadline. This year, it was a bunch of injuries. It's the same thing every year. You got no consistency. How can you expect to avoid these issues?
Look, you have to be able to move on from some of the other pieces that are the support pieces. You can go and do this without a third superstar in the mix. You can, but you need to get the right pieces in place. And we don't need to get into all the specifics because we got a lot of time to do that in about 15 minutes with George Sedano from 710 ESPN LA, who's going to join us in just a bit to talk about this situation. But the likes of D'Angelo Russell, like that's not going to help you win a championship. I'm not closing the door on them altogether, but I'm highly skeptical. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Then there's the other team last night that did what they had to do. Leave no doubt in a series against the Miami Heat, and now it's all about wrapping it up. But can they do it without one of their big pieces? We explain why that's not going to be an issue next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Like the price here, not going to lie. We're going to go to the ice where we were very successful yesterday. Avalanche Jets, game 5 in Winnipeg. We're going to take the Avs. -1.5. So we're going puck line here. It pays out +185. So we got to win by two or more goals. Now, game one, the Avalanche had major issues in the net. They solved those. Since then, in the next three games, they've outscored Winnipeg 16-5 in three absolute blowouts. So they return to Winnipeg looking to close out the series. Think of it like this. If you are up late in a closeout game, the other team, back against the wall, do-or-die scenario, they yank the goaltender a lot earlier than they normally would, possibly with 4 or 5 minutes to go. We saw this in the Panthers game last night. That game was 2-1 to start the third period. It ended 6-1 in favor of the Panthers. I think something similar could happen here, so we want to go ahead and bet the Avs on the puck line, which means we got to win by two or more goals at a juicy price of +185.
Ah, and don't forget the Avalanche and Jets, Game 5, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time tonight on ESPN.
Hockey playoffs have been good. Sorry for jumping in there. Very excited. Hockey playoffs have been good.
They have been very good. How about the comeback the other day? Pull the goalie down 2. You tie it up. Ooh. Go to OT and win for Vancouver.
Bad beats on the under there. Bad beats on Nashville. Guess what? That game also in pizza money today. Stay tuned.
Oh, giddy up.
We're firing.
And the Boston Celtics, again, have taken their talents to South Beach and are going to leave with another win. Their sixth consecutive win in this building, and they've taken the commanding 3-1 lead.
There's no difference between the regular season and the playoffs. All year, we've had guys step in and play. So most important thing is execute the game plan and bring the mindset and the toughness it takes.
It's great to be on a team like this that is deep and talented on both ends of the floor, and that on any given night, we can have a guy like that erupt and, you know, win us a playoff game.
Celtics still got it done. I'm not going to lie. As I got into that game last night, Joe, that became more of a check-in game. Let me go back every 10 minutes or so, see if they can bring it any closer. And really, the Miami Heat never really could get all that close when it mattered. And the Celtics get it done. And that was, I think, an incredibly important game for the Celtics to get it done, because it's one thing when you're coming off a loss. It's another thing when you're not sitting back on your laurels and kind of just letting Miami get back into this, because that's the worst thing that you can possibly do.
At times, the Celtics have had a bad habit of playing with their food rather than just finishing the meal and moving on to the dessert course. They play with the food a little bit and then they get caught. Waiter gets busy with another table. Suddenly you're in a situation where you're waiting. Now you don't know if you're going to have the dessert. People get angry at the table. They just want the bill. Leads to a fight. You argue with the wife on the way home. Possibly leads to divorce. Things can go south in a hurry if you play with your food. That's the moral of the story here. Perhaps a bit of an exaggeration, but I'll let some of you roll with it. For the Celtics, this Heat team, we can scream Heat culture all we want. They are inferior. Punch them, put them down, move on with your life, because they're not that good. They're missing a ton of key talent. They're banged up across the board. They do not match up with you. They shocked you in game two. Now it's time for you to exert your will the rest of the way out. Wrap it up in five and move on. So you're right. Last night was a check-in game. Step up, see what's going on, move on. There were other things to handle last night than that game. Celtics did exactly what they needed to do, but that's not the big question, my friend.
No,
I believe there's something else we should be focusing on here.
And that is Kristaps Porzingis and his injury right now. Calf injury. Good news from Woj last night is that it does not appear to be an Achilles-related injury, but here is Joe Mazzulla with his post-game update on the situation.
If anybody wants to ask, I haven't gotten an update on Porzingis yet, so we can save the time.
On the injury, it looked like he got played.
I didn't see what happened, and I haven't gotten an update yet, no.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
So sorry to put you out like that.
How dare you want to ask about my star player?
Like, what are we doing here? You know it's coming. You know, I'm not getting into it. I only have so many rants for one day. Missoula's not on my list today.
This is not me to get fired up over Joe Mazzulla and that little sly comment after the game. No.
It's like, pick your spots here. You want to go after the media for that? Look, before anyone asks, I don't know what happened to Porzingis, okay? What we were going to ask is, how does it feel to blow out Miami for the second game in a row? But yeah, you know, sorry, Joe.
I had one of those once with Tom Coughlin in a press conference.
Coughlin.
I started to ask a question. It was before the Green Bay Giants NFC Championship game in the freezing cold.
Oh,
in Green Bay.
Hell of a game for Big Blue.
Amazing game for Big Blue. So it was leading up to it. This whole press conference is on NFL Network. There are 100 people in the room. I'm covering the Giants at the time. And I start up and I start to ask Tom, I know you haven't addressed this with the team yet. And he just stops me. And he goes on a rant for a minute and a half about how the weather, I have addressed it, we're going to deal with it, we have to play in it, just goes on and on, so aggravated with me.
He knew the weather question was coming?
Yeah, except that wasn't my question. And so after this minute and a half rant, I just say, yeah, that wasn't my question.
Really? How did he respond to that?
He laughed. The whole room laughed.
You got Tom Coughlin the laugh, huh?
I did. In the week
leading up to the NFC Championship game.
Yes. Yes, so that was about the only time ever I've seen that happen, but yeah.
What was the would the question end up being?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah,
not remotely. God forbid it wasn't about the weather.
God forbid we pay off the story there.
No. I did pay off the story. I got everybody to laugh.
Yeah, but now we all want to know what the question was.
Trust me, it was not that important. Anyway, as it pertains to Porzingis here, I'm really, maybe I'm just a little Pollyanna here. I'm not that worried because
big picture or Eastern Conference, those are two different questions.
Big picture and Eastern Conference. Here's why. Listen, if Porzingis is going to be out until the conference finals, then we can talk about me being worried. I am not worried about the rest of this series. I am not worried about playing Indiana. I am not worried about playing Orlando. Neither. And the primary reason is that the Celtics were 21-4 against teams without Kristaps Porzingis this year. 21-4 without him. So why would I worry about that? I'm not going to get too wrapped up in it when I don't really, I don't know if respect is the right word, but let's just say this. I don't have the respect of, you know, of believing in what's going on with Indiana or Orlando to beat the Celtics even without Porzingis.
So let's have the real conversation then. Once we move away the easy opponents where it doesn't matter, are you concerned that this is a long-term injury for their title hopes? Because that's the real question here.
Not yet.
If you face the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals and he can't go, does that suddenly open the doors for the Knicks? If this is an injury that lingers all the way through and he can't go in the NBA Finals, are you worried about the matchup with Denver? Because this is a guy with the third highest usage rate on the Celtics this season. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks per game. You're going to need all hands on deck. Not against Miami, not against Indiana or a B-level Milwaukee Bucks team. Against the Knicks, you might be able to survive because the Knicks are thin. But you're not going to beat Denver down Porzingis. Yeah. The versatility, the way he opens the floor, the spacing that's required there, I do not see you winning a championship without Porzingis. I'm not sure you win one with him, but without him, that's a big blow to this team.
I misspoke there. I said Indiana. I meant Cleveland. I'm not worried about
all of them.
One.
All of them are in the same category.
Exactly.
All right. They just got blown out twice in Orlando by Orlando. You don't get any respect. The butt cheek tattoo, I'm still safe.
Yeah, I would not be losing any sleep if I were you. And thanks for, once again, bringing up the imagery. Yes, then if we get to the conference finals, sure, because Porzingis was brought in to be the difference maker between what happened last year in disastrous fashion and this year and how to change it up, right? I would be a lot more worried if we were talking about either of the big two, and we're not. I think right now you can get through the next couple of weeks if you have to rest Porzingis, and there's no problem for me in believing that. I mean, you know, what they did against Orlando this year, I don't really have a problem believing that they're not going to be able to get through them. They were just entirely too dominant all season long. Do the Knicks worry me a little bit if I don't have Porzingis? Absolutely.
They should.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they? Well, listen, I am the same dope who sat here and told you that the Knicks should be doing everything they can to avoid the Sixers. Now, I did not expect Embiid to aggravate this injury, but they have just, frankly, outplayed them in every single way this series. Outplayed them in every way, and if that's going to continue and they're going to wrap things up, that would be the only team in the East that would bother me at the moment. That's it. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Feeling great starts with a great shave, and great shaves start with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream, an American classic for over 100 years. Close shave, America, close shave, Barbasol. In moments, what is next for LeBron and the Lakers, and does it include adding another James to the conversation? We get answers next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
No good. Season over. Lakers lose the final. Nuggets 108, Lakers 106. Series over.
It's tough, but I couldn't be more proud of our crew. Our guys showed a lot of guts, a lot of character, and their resilience to continue to fight.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
I love to appreciate it. That is fantastic.
It's very respectful.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Also, on your smart speakers by saying play ESPN Radio. Nobody knows the Lakers inside and out like George Sedano out at L.A. at ESPN 710. And, of course, right here on ESPN Radio, you hear him calling games all the time. George, it's Carlin and Joe. Appreciate a few minutes, man. First of all, what did you make of LeBron not really answering questions about his future postgame last night?
Thanks for having me on, guys. It just feels like your favorite Hollywood TV show, right? It's the best cliffhanger in sports is the LeBron James postseason press conference, right?
That's we're coming we're up at. On May sweeps, aren't we, George?
Yeah, exactly. He's learned. He's gotten better at these things over the years. I've covered him since 2010. I was with him in Miami, periodically in Cleveland, and now here in LA. So I like to joke on the radio here that I speak LeBron. And even this one, honestly, it's the chef's kiss of cliffhangers at a season end press conference for him.
All right. So a lot of talk about what the future is going to hold. I think most feel he'll be back with the Lakers. Let's assume that he is. Let's assume Anthony Davis is. What can be done to this roster to make it better so it has a better chance of advancing deep in the playoffs next season? How many options are really out there?
Well, Joe, let me start with this by telling you that I think that LeBron, for the first time, in my opinion, in his tenure with the Lakers, is going to put real pressure on them. So while I agree with you that the likely scenario is that he returns, I don't think it's 100%. And I say that because he's got the leverage at this point because he can opt out. And they need him desperately. They know that. Even in year 21, he's arguably their best player still. So, and it's a star-driven town. At the end of the day, the Lakers went through 6 years before LeBron where they were toiling in irrelevancy for the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the crown jewels, and they don't want to deal with that. So I will say that they do have three first-round picks that they can package this offseason. The fact that they didn't trade D'Angelo Russell and some other guys at the trade deadline allowed them to kind of have extra picks, I guess, to trade this season just based on the Stepien rule. I don't want to get into the weeds too much on this stuff. But long story short, because they didn't make a deal at the deadline, they now have three picks they can trade this offseason. So the options are this. Who is the disgruntled star that they can go get? Is it Trae Young? Is it DeJounte Murray who they tried to get? And I don't know if I view him as a star necessarily, but a very good player. Both guys on the Atlanta Hawks. Is it Donovan Mitchell, who most people think will be gone this offseason? Kyrie Irving, if the Mavs get bounced in the first round, do the Mavs look at that situation and say to themselves, you know what, maybe this Luka-Kyrie thing isn't working. We got Kyrie on low value. Do we trade him when his value is much higher now if we get bounced again early or, you know, we're not necessarily going where we want to go with these guys if they don't want to see that thing through? Now, there may be other options on the table. The Phoenix guys, I don't know all the specifics. We know Bradley Beal has a no trade clause, but he waived that to go to Phoenix. You know, is Devin Booker available? Is KD available? There's going to be a lot of guys potentially available. My guy Brian Windhorst said it best. This offseason could look like the college transfer portal more than a normal NBA season.
George Sedano, 710 ESPN LA, with us about the Lakers. It is kind of fascinating to see whether or not it has to be George, one of those big guys. As we've seen everything just not work in Phoenix, we saw Booker's comments the other day, or is it more about replacing some of those top-level role guys along the lines of D'Angelo Russell? Do you think it has to be another superstar in L.A.?
I don't think it has to be, Carlin, but I think that seems to be the more likely scenario. But I'm with you. Look at what Boston did, right? Derek White is not a star by the stretch of the imagination, but he's a star in his role. So could you find more of those guys that make sense? You know, D'Angelo Russell played much better in this series than he did in the previous series last year. He certainly played better as the season went on. But he's a one-way player, in my opinion. He's a liability on defense most nights. So can you find a guy that can be both, can play both sides of the court? Maybe, but I think just knowing the way this team works and knowing the way LeBron thinks, I do think that there's a more likely scenario that he's going to be recruiting this offseason and Anthony Davis will be recruiting this offseason than there will be to add role players in lieu of adding a star-level player.
How do you think his son, Bronny James, fits into those plans?
I think it fits. I think that he clearly wants to play with Bronny, and by with, I don't necessarily know if it's exactly on the same team. I don't know that to be specific. I think that the fact that he could play against him is a possibility, but I think his preference seems to be just based on reporting that he would rather play with him if he could. And the Lakers seem willing to make that happen. Now, the question is, where? Are you going to take Bronny in the first round? He's not a first-round talent at this point. Are you going to take him in the second round? Are you going to pull what some agents pull, which is, hey, don't draft my guy because he's got a spot he wants to go to? Heck, Austin Reeves was one of those guys for the Lakers. He could have been drafted in the second round, and his agent at the time told all these other teams, don't take him because he's got a deal in place with another team, and it happened to be the Los Angeles Lakers. So that's not out of the ordinary in these scenarios, but I do think it plays a factor. Joe, I don't know how big a factor, but I do think it's something we can't summarily dismiss.
It is interesting that the draft is the 26th, 27th, and LeBron has to make a decision by June 29th. That timeline works out pretty interestingly.
No doubt. And I think that's why we're going to find out about the Lakers' plans sooner rather than later, because the pressure will be on them. LeBron's going to want some answers, at least to what the plan really is, because I don't think he wants to leave, and I don't think they want him to go anywhere. So he's going to want some answers as to what the plan is for them to make one last real shot at this and take one last real shot at trying to win a championship together.
George, last one. Are the Lakers, and as constituted with AD and LeBron as their primary pieces, done winning titles at this point?
You know, again, I'm not an absolutist, so I don't want to say no, but I think it's going to be tough because we're seeing some of these young teams on the rise right now in real time. We're seeing Minnesota and Anthony Edwards. We're seeing Oklahoma City. But I do think that if you look at the history of the NBA, the teams that win championships for the most part are teams that are veteran laden. Okay. So because of that, I won't say no. And I'd like to see what else is around them, because those two guys weren't the problem this year. Anthony Davis played more games this season than he's played in his entire career in the regular season. LeBron James in year 21 is continuing to push the standard of what someone can look like at that stage, kind of like Tom Brady, in regards to his physical play and his individual play. So I think they're capable, but what are they putting around them? Also, who's the coach? Because Darvin Ham, while I like him personally, I think he's a great assistant. I don't think he's the right coach for this particular team. And there's just plenty of stuff out there that people can find in regards to real good reporting on some of the trials and tribulations they went through as a group this year, because Darvin may have been a bit over his head a little bit this season, just based on the way things unfolded during the regular season and perhaps even in this short series against Denver.
George, great stuff, brother. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, George.
You got it, guys. Have
George
a good
Sedano.
Show. See you. Thanks.
ESPN 710 LA. Lakers are going to be, whether you like it or not, a big topic in the coming weeks, because LeBron, as Joe illustrated earlier, is brilliant at navigating how to keep your attention. LeBron, Steph, Durant, all out. One player ready to take the mantle. We'll tell you who it is after I tell you about this from our friends at Indeed. It is the perfect time to gear up and connect quality candidates. If you don't realize this, I'm here to help you. There's no better way to do that than through Indeed. It's the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
All we could handle. You know, we did not want to get on that plane going back to LA. And so now we can try to get ready for Saturday against a beast in Minnesota.
I don't want to sit. And I was like, I'm not going to leave my brothers out there. I got a little emotional in the back because I was like, I'm not sitting. I don't care what it is we got to figure out. And I'm just thankful that they let me play. And I was able to get this opportunity to actually put that ball in the hoop.
Jamal Murray playing with that strained calf last night, still hits another game winner. Nuggets finish off the Lakers. By the way, always love the broadcaster stomping on the opposition on the way out. Get out of here. Get back to La La Land. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. So it's going to be Nuggets and T-Wolves beginning this coming weekend. And look, I saw your tweet earlier. And the more and more that it just kind of seeped in, I agree. Joe actually used the word tingly when he was talking about how excited he was getting for Nuggets T-Wolves.
Two key reasons. One, hate to say it like this, but the semifinal matchups for the next round are starting to look like they could be really lousy. Like, what are we going to get? We're going to get Boston versus the winner of Orlando-Cleveland.
Right.
And then the Knicks-Sixers winner is going to end up drawing the Pacers-Bucks winner. So there's not a lot of intrigue in the East until we get to the finals. Out West, we're going to get OKC with the winner of the Clippers-Mavericks series, so that should be all right. This is the series. This is the series on so many levels. First and foremost, the idea that this is how you build teams. As everyone is focusing on LeBron James and what he's going to do in LA and whether or not he can win another championship and what's going to happen in Phoenix and whether or not they can contend, look at these two teams that are going to square off in this matchup. This is how you build a championship contender. Let's start with Denver. Mike Malone comes in as the head coach in 2015. Still there. Who would have thought having a coach around for a while and providing some level of consistency might actually benefit the program? Jokic is drafted in 2015. Jamal Murray drafted in 2017. Michael Porter Jr. drafted in 2019. Aaron Gordon acquired via trade in 2021. It takes time. You see the benefits of these guys playing together now. But there were some playoff series where they went down in flames early on as they had to learn to navigate the NBA postseason. That teaches resilience. Minnesota has a lot of similarities. Karl Anthony Towns, drafted in 2016. Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, joined the team via the draft in 2020. Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley come over on the open market in 2022, meaning trades, free agency, things of that nature. Naz Reid was drafted in 2019. He's a huge player coming off the bench. Chris Finch has been the head coach since 2021. It's now 2024. It takes time. And that is what these two teams are showing you, and I can't wait for them to go head-to-head because hopefully team builders around the NBA will start to realize you're not just going to be able to acquire talent, roll the ball out there, and beat people 4 out of 7 four times in a row. Boston's homegrown with some additions via the market. That's how you build a team. That's why they're contending right now. The consistency, the fire, the adversity you have to go through together. These guys on the Lakers, it's just interchangeable parts, man. Interchangeable parts. So I'm jacked for this series.
Yeah, listen, I get it. I don't think everybody can do it that way. I mean, I'll look at your own team that you root for, and it hasn't worked. They tried to do it that way.
Three different coaches, three different general managers.
And bad drafting. I mean, they did draft three centers with those first three disastrous picks. Well, only one of them really worked out. That was a big part of it, too. But the point is, there are two teams here that have been assembled the right way. I completely agree with that. And you've got one guy in particular that if he wins this series, I guess there's a possibility that Anthony Edwards all of a sudden becomes the face of the league to some people. I don't know that I 100% buy that, because I don't know that Anthony Edwards is going to be the only face of the league going forward. I still think Jokic is a face of the league, even though he doesn't necessarily want to go out and do 100 commercials. I think Anthony Edwards would be one of them. I think there are going to be a few different guys that could be the faces of the league, even if they do go out and win this series.
The thing that's amazing about Jokic not being the face of the league is that he's so perfect as the face of the league. He's exactly what you want representing your sport. He is the best player in the NBA.
Yep.
He doesn't complain about anything. He's not complaining about trades. He's not complaining about officiating. He's not demanding this. He's not pointing out that. Like, this is a league with more complaining than any other professional sports league. There is so much complaining in the NBA. The best player in the NBA doesn't complain. And then the best part, he played 79 games this past season. And if you go through his history, it's littered with seasons of him playing 70-plus games. He doesn't load manage. He doesn't take the night off. He is everything you would want to represent your organization and be the face. And the problem is, you know, he doesn't really have a lot of sizzle. He doesn't talk a whole lot. He doesn't, you know, have the flash that we're looking for. So he's not the face of the NBA. Like, if you're the commissioner of the NBA, that's the guy you want representing your product.
I'd argue that Jokic plays the most fun game to watch right now.
His game is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, even when he's not shooting the ball particularly well, he's still going to have a massive night and impact the game in a lot of different ways. I personally love watching him pass more than anything else. Some of his touch passes are ridiculous.
He sees the court just it's Neo in the Matrix, man. He just sees it differently.
It really is. And I never even saw the Matrix, and I think I know what you're talking about.
What?
Yeah.
You don't have to see 2 and 3, but you didn't see the first one?
No.
Any reason why? You've been hung up for 25 years?
No. No reason why. There are a list of movies that you would look at me and with a disgusted look when you realize I haven't seen them.
Do you not like movies?
No, I love them. I love them.
Well, let's not go that far. Let's not say I love movies and then have a list of great movies you've never seen.
But I haven't gone out of my...
That's being a little too casual with the word love.
When I get... I don't want to start movies halfway in between, which is sometimes when I turn on TV and a movie's halfway in between and I haven't seen it. I don't want to start it. I don't want to pick it up there.
That's not the only way to consume a movie. Are you aware of products such as Netflix and Amazon?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the theater?
Joe, listen... I don't have all the time in the world like you do, okay? I really, yeah. There are so many things going on at this household that I cannot be held responsible for not being able to see a movie when you can.
You saw that.
I know you do the TV show, and I know you got kids, and I know you're buying a house, and I know you're doing all this stuff, and I guess that's a lot of things to do. The other 21 hours of the day, you'd be blown away as to what's going on here.
You ever resolve that woodpecker situation?
No.
No, you didn't get that done either, huh?
No. No, we've got a woodpecker.
What are you doing with the other 21 hours of the day?
Trust me, it would make a hell of a reality show. You would eat it up with a spoon.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.